Anyway, the topic tonight is pretty much an open forum, but also to talk about the fact that things are falling apart rapidly now, which is good and bad both. It's like Cliff High and Greg Hunter were just saying on an interview I was listening to that we don't really want to go back to the way things were anyway, because it was antichrist. It was satanic. This country's been going the way of Satan for decades, so we don't want to go back to that. So this is going to be our opportunity to rebuild this country when people start having health issues and start falling over. Then, of course, we're going to, we're going to have to rebuild, just like we've been talking about on the show for many years. The other thing is my first wife, I found out today, had to be taken to the emergency room by my daughter, who is a nurse, and she had heart issues, and yes, she's had two of the jabs, and she regrets it. Bad issues with that, and today had to go to the hospital. They're telling her she has AFib, which is, I don't know, Ella, if I'm pronouncing it right, but I think it's atrial fibrillation.
Atrial fibrillation, correct.
Fibrillation, okay. It's also called AFib for short, and it's in the long list of side effects from these jabs that have to do with heart issues and many other issues. So, I do covet prayers. People have made mistakes. She now realizes getting the jab was a mistake. And she is now, like I said, spending the night in the hospital under observation. I don't know if they're going to do any more tests or not. But so people are being harmed by this stuff faster and faster. Cliff High predicts that we could lose 1 billion people, which is pretty close to like 15%, I think, of the population. So 15 out of 100 people could die, according to these guys. So, Ella, do you got anything you want to chit-chat about while we're waiting for other folks to show up?
Yeah, I wanted to hear from other people if they are noticing things that are going down specifically. Like, for instance, in my life, I found in the past 3 months, the banks are going to pot. The banks are not communicating with each other. There are things that are getting left out, added. You can't you cannot trust your bank account. And the amounts that you have in there versus the amount you spend, because the deductions sometimes wait 2 or 3 months before they take them out. And then you find out later that you don't have enough money for what you intended to have in there. So I have noticed that lately, that it's getting really bad with the banks. Like somebody very clever told me yesterday, they're idiots that are being hired in banks. They don't even account.
That is part of the problem. Cody, welcome to the program. This is, again, open forum here on Free Conference Call, so it's kind of like a family chat, very informal. Pretty much anything goes. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, very good. Do you want me to mute you, or do you want to mute yourself?
I'll mute myself. How do I do it? One, right?
Star 6. On a phone, we'll do it.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, very good. So, yeah, the banks, every retail business right now is a problem. That's what I've been noticing. It's affirmative action. So it's not just a result of what's been done because of the COVID and everything else. It's because of affirmative action in the hiring practices, since the Jews completely dominate corporate America. And so the drive to push particularly white men out of the workplace, especially supervisory positions, engineering positions such as that, but even down to retail store clerks and stuff, I've noticed, like where I'm at here, there's almost no white people left at all. Even white women have disappeared. And when you put minorities in charge of something, even some of the construction guys here, the guys that own like roofers and swimming pool cage builders, bricklayers, white guys that own companies that hire a lot of these wetbacks, I call them, these Mexicans and others that come here. When you only have one or two of them as part of your workforce, a lot of times they're not bad as far as workers. But what we've noticed, especially here in Florida, when you get like this one older gentleman owns a roofing company, and when he hires a crew that's predominantly Mexicans or Latins to do a roofing job, he's got to stay there and stay on top of them, or they'll sit around and just shoot the shit or screw off or whatever. So this whole thing that they work better than we do, well, yeah, when there's only one or two of them, they may work pretty hard. I've never seen one that could outwork a white man, and not in my lifetime anyway. And in my experience, and I've worked on truck farms, I've worked in factories, I've worked on high-level projects, so I've been all over the board over my years. And many times there's minorities, Jews, etc., and women that are part of those work crews. I've never seen one yet that could outwork me or any of the other white engineers on the project. But could they hold their own, at least do a half decent job usually? But when they become the majority, that changes. Then they become worse than what you would imagine, as far as trying to get work done and things like that. And I think that's what's happening, Ella, even in banking now. I've noticed when I go to the bank, every teller, every person at the bank that I meet now is a minority or a woman. It's almost, and there are almost none of them are white people anymore. And so it's a hit or miss. You'll find one every now and then that knows what they're doing, but a lot of times they're either ignorant or lazy, or they're prejudiced against you as an Anglo. Because they don't want to take care of your needs. They'd rather wait on their fellow Latins or blacks. So I think that's part of what's going on too. Back to you, Ella.
I think I said my bit. I'd like to hear if anybody else is having any other problems in any other areas.
Well, if you listen, like I said, to Craig Hunter and Cliff I and other people like that, things are falling apart rapidly. So again, what we've talked about here for years on By Yahweh's Design is coming true. And so, I don't give us credit. I give the Father credit that he was leading many of us that were part of these broadcasts for many years. Because virtually everything we've warned about for over 22 years is now coming to pass. And so we've told people for years, make sure you have your basics, your food, your water, your shelter, your weapons, your ammunition, your medicines, a filtration system to produce more water if you need it without the standard stuff. In other words, if everything goes black, if everything that you use today, the gas stations, the electrical, the water, the pharmacies, the food stores, the trucks, the highways, the streetlights, if everything shuts down, what would you need to survive for 3 months? That's been the baseline for preparation. That's baseline right there. If everything goes south, do you have enough to stay hunkered down for at least 3 months? And now we're getting more and more reports that that is so very true. And I just hope people are paying.
Could I add another thing on that when you were talking about earlier? You can continue, but when you're through, let me know.
Yeah, no, that's okay. Go ahead.
When you were talking about atrial fibrillation, people don't really know what that is. In the upper part of the heart, the atrium, is the sinoatrial node. That's what kicks off the heartbeat of everybody's heartbeat for a normal rate of like 80 to 90. And when atrial fibrillation happens, the top part of the heart loses the ability of that node to fire at a regular rate. And the atrium, the top part of the heart, just starts casting off all kinds of beats that don't agree with the ventricle part of the heart. So your heart rate gets kind of chaotic. It doesn't make you pass out or anything because your ventricles are beating to supply the blood supply. But I wanted to say that one thing that the doctors advise, that if you start getting chest pain during an episode of atrial fibrillation, that you should take aspirin. I do not think that that is a good thing to do, because aspirin can cause bleeding. If you're prone to stomach ulcers or any kind of bleeding, aspirin can really cause a really mess with you. One thing to keep on hand, as Dan was saying, supplies, is keep a good supply of cayenne pepper. And if you start getting chest pain that you feel might be a heart attack or some kind of a blockage, angina or something like that, just take a couple, probably about a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper in a half a glass of water and chug it down. That will open up your blood vessels, and that will stop the chest pain much better than aspirin will.
Yeah, we learned about that in holistic medicine classes years ago. In fact, the instructor used to carry a little, I don't know if it was plastic or glass, but he used to carry a little vial with four parts vodka and one part cayenne pepper. Some people pronounce it cayenne pepper. And he carried that, and he told us in the class that if you ever felt like you or somebody you were with was having a heart attack, you would just take the top of that vial off and just chug that right down.
Good idea.
Yeah, the good news is if you're having a heart attack, you will not taste the cayenne pepper. If you're not, if it's a false alarm, that cayenne pepper is going to burn like hell. So that's two things that that little vial will do for you. It'll tell you if you really are having a heart attack, and if you won't stop it instantly. If you're not, it's going to burn. The good news is it's not going to hurt you. It's cayenne pepper and vodka, so it's not going to hurt you. So little tricks that the Father, we keep learning every day, more and more things about the plant life, and the simple things that our Father has provided for us, and how we are able to keep our bodies in homeostasis and to get through the storm. Just like recently, I've had a really bad kidney stone situation in my back. It's been years, but for some reason, probably when I fell, I jarred something loose, or when I was doing a lot of outside work here about 5 days ago, I may have twisted and that stone broke loose. And so I was getting blood. And so I started doing the hydrangea, the chaga piedra, and the San Mat spurge tea. All of those are available here locally. San Mat grows right here in the driveway. I mean, talk about cheap and free and easy and 100% natural. It's right here growing in the cracks of my sidewalk and my driveway. You just go out and pull a handful of it up, wash it off, chop it up into small bits, put it in some boiling water, take it off the stove and let it steep for about 2 hours to where it's cool enough to drink. And you will have a remedy for gallstones and kidney stones. And I drank probably 2 to 3 cups of this for 2 to 3 days, and the pain in my back disappeared. I had a very tiny little stone came out, and whatever else was left just vanished. I have passed kidney stones in the past that put me in the hospital. They were so painful. These herbs take the rough edges off, and they will either dissolve the stone completely, or the stone will be so much smaller and so smooth that you almost can't even tell it's coming out. I'm going to tell you, if I have a choice between going to the hospital and ambulance with a 45-minute pain of feeling like a 6-inch knife blade's in my back versus drinking a couple cups of tea and this thing just comes out of normal urination, I'm going to take the B route. I've had both, and I'm going to tell you, drinking a couple cups of tea that you've brewed is a hell of a lot cheaper and easier and much, much more pleasant to deal with than the trip to the hospital. Plus, they stick that serum in your body to check with x-rays what's going on in your urinary tract. And when they stuck that stuff into my veins, a heat wave went over my entire body. It was nauseating and very painful. So, again, I didn't know any better. I was in my early 20s. Now I wouldn't let them touch me with a 10-foot pole. I wouldn't recommend anybody let them touch you at all. Again, you know, for the folks that are just coming here, my first wife is in the hospital tonight with heart condition. They're saying it's AFib. And my daughter is concerned it might be related to vaccine damage, because she did get 2 doses of the COVID vaccine before she realized that it was a mistake and said that she would not take any more. So they've been telling us, different people have been telling us, that the side effects of these toxic serums are putting in our arms could take anywhere from 6 months to 3 years before people see the results. So we're still waiting to find out if they're going to do more testing and see what the final result is. As of tonight, my daughter, who is a senior nurse, feels that she's going to be okay. But then again, my cousin, when the COVID thing first started, my cousin, who's the same age I am, went to the hospital for a motorcycle accident. A week and a half later, he was getting ready to be discharged because he was doing so good. And before he could leave the hospital the next morning, he was dead. And they said it was a heart issue. And so that was when we were just starting to find out that heart attacks, myocarditis, and other issues were associated with these poisons that they're putting in people's bodies. We've got some new folks that just got in. Jennifer, you're unmuted if you wanted to jump in. Cody, we already talked to. Henry, you're unmuted. Yeah, if you go ahead, Jennifer.
I was listening to the thing you posted on Telegram by Amanda, and she's putting formulas together I don't remember what, maybe if it was DMSO for detoxing. Oh, well, of course, borax to detox from the metals from the vaccine. But she's getting ready to start putting formulas together too, to help vaccinated people lessen their, you know, reactions to the vax. So, but yeah. I didn't finish, because then I got that thing from you about the other free conference call. And Hi, Ella. I hear you on the other line.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, Jennifer. Yeah. I saw you come in.
You saw me? Oh, you saw me.
Well, I saw your name.
Oh, okay. Nice.
Yeah, you can go down to the bottom where it says attendees. And if you click on that, a bar opens up on the right, and it'll show you everybody that's in the chat. In the conference.
Well, I'm on the phone. There's no way for me to do it.
Oh, so it's just a regular phone?
Yeah, my regular phone. I don't use my computer. And then I've got tomorrow. I have to go get a new phone charger because all my phone chargers are not speedily charging my phone, and it's 3 years old. And of course, you know, they start to do, you know, stuff like that. So I have to buy a new one in another year.
Perpetual consumers. Remember, that's what they want us for. Did Amanda Vollmer, you say she was the one recommending borax as
metal detox, yeah.
And that would help people that have had this poison put in their bodies?
Yeah. You might want to go back and listen to that whole talk. I didn't get through with it until, you know, your text came through and I went, oh, shoot, it's already after 6. After 6 your time, so I better get on there. Or after 8 your time, sorry.
Yeah. Did she say anything in that article? Because I didn't have time to listen to the whole thing. I just know Amanda puts out really good material, so I just sent it out. Did she say anything about N-acetylcysteine or NAC, whether that would help or not?
I hadn't gotten that far, but she did talk about how she's deflecting chemtrails with organite, and she said some kind of vinegar formula. I hope to get in touch with her on that. I put organite around my backyard, and I don't see chemtrails over my house, but they're around. But she brought that up, and it was pretty good, but I didn't finish it, so it's probably still running in the background. That's why my phone does weird things.
That could be organite, huh?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good.
Yeah.
Henry, did you want to jump in and say anything, or do you want to stay muted? Or, well, wait a minute, now I lost your mic, so maybe you don't have a mic. Okay, never mind then.
No.
Oh, there you are.
Yeah, I just got in. Just trying to get organized.
Oh, okay. I just want to make sure you're connected all right and you can hear okay.
Oh, yeah. If I feel the necessity, I'll jump in with something.
Okie dokie. Very good.
Do you want me to stay unmuted? Or?
I'll go ahead and mute you. I think you can unmute if you want at any time.
Yeah, I can definitely do that. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Very good. Yeah, go ahead, Ella.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that since most of us are in a strap for medical treatment, if we happen to have any symptoms that we're concerned about or we need to know things that we don't know, I would like them to know that I am a retired RN. I was an RN for 40 years. So if there's any time anybody has any questions about anything medical that I could answer, I'll be certainly glad to let them know or look some things up that if I don't know them myself, that we do have resources in our family here that we can turn to for these things.
Amen. Amen. And we're all holistic. We believe in the holistic approach to health. So we're organic, non-GMO, non-hybrid, totally holistic. When holistic typically means that you use non-prescription drug methods and you believe in the spiritual side of healing. So it's the whole gamut, not just, oh, I feel a certain way, so I'm going to take this herb or this tincture or this pharmaceutical and make myself better, because we are spiritual beings. So everything that happens in our lives is going to be at different levels, and there's a spiritual aspect of that that many times we forget about. So we look at it holistically, meaning the whole package. Keep the energy and vibration levels as high as you can. Stay positive. Stay in a good prayer position with the Father. And I'm telling you, just before this conference call, I had a talk with a gentleman. I won't say who it was, but the Father is blessing this guy like no tomorrow. And he's not the only one. It's like he's getting the remnant ready for what's coming next. And again, we've said this for years, that when Father brings the fire down on this earth, it's going to be hell for the lukewarm. It's going to be hell for the non-believers. It's going to be hell for the communists and atheists. It's going to be hell for the blasphemers, the cowards, and the perverts, but not for his children. Okay, so while, just like in the story of Noah, as he's destroying the wicked, we will rise above that. It does not mean that life is going to be a bowl full of cherries with no ups and downs. No, that's not what he said. What he said was, just like Noah and his family, they still had to live on the ark. They still had to survive. They still had to slaughter for their food. They still had to cook it. They still had to maintain their wits while they were stuck on that boat for close to a year. Okay? The point of it is that, okay, it may be rough at times. We may watch some of the people we love pass away, people that are neighbors, friends, coworkers, whatever. You're going to see these things around you, but it's not going to touch the household of the strong believers, the people that walk in Father's love, mercy, and his law. As the head of households, that's why it's important for the men. You're the head of the household. Whether you know it or not, whether you like it or not, doesn't matter. Men are the head of the households, just like Noah was the captain on the ark. Head of the household, but also captain on the ark. The men have to step up at this time. They have to be able to reach out and grab people by the hand and help them into the ark of knowledge, the ark of our network of friends and family here, just like what we're doing tonight. That all forms an ark in a way. It may not be an ark made of wood this time, and we don't think it could be because there's too many of us, first of all, and he's not going to flood the earth as he did in the days of Noah. That this one's going to be by fire, and fire can be encompass the entire earth. It's just an allegory for judgment, Yahweh's judgment upon the earth. So keep that in mind as we go forward, because you can see these things coming to pass. I got emails today from people I know across America, people over in Europe, asking the same question. Are we in the days of Noah? Because of the things they're seeing where they're at, and the way it appears that these are the judgment periods spoken of in the prophecies. Also, are we in the period of Obadiah, verse 18, and Ezekiel 25, verse 14, where Edom Esau is being identified, the terrors, which is not just Edom Esau, but everybody that goes along with Edom Esau. So he is separating the two camps. And when he has the terrors properly identified and bundled up, they will be destroyed. So that just leaves his children left, the people that he once left on this earth. And it'll be a rebuilding time. That's why we're learning all the things that we're learning. I mean, me and my neighbor and other people I know, we're all learning how to do things that we've forgotten how to do, unfortunately. We're all learning how to plant crops again, how to plant and be proper husbands, if you will, to vineyards and trees that are medicinal. And you find out almost everything in the ground has a medicinal property to it. Almost everything. Especially the ones that they told us were weeds. Just like dandelion. We were told they're weeds. No, they're good for you. The neem tree and the moringa tree and the avocado trees and different things like that. Those things are so medicinal, it's unbelievable. Even organic, natural, non-GMO tobacco, believe it or not, has a degree of medicinal property to it in the nicotine. You actually need Yep. some of that nicotine. Not a lot, but a little bit of natural nicotine, you actually need it. Same thing That's with perfect. The THC the in marijuana. What's that?
I said nicotine is niacin also, and I take it every morning. 50 milligrams.
Every day too.
Nicotine or niacin?
I take nicotine. Because nicotine has been seen to fight Alzheimer's and Parkinson's. And my age, I'm pretty sharp in my brain.
How young are you?
Young enough.
Go ahead, yeah. Ella, tell them.
I'll be 80.
Oh, wow.
Month after next.
Yeah. Yeah, I took niacin to get off of American Spirit cigarettes. I know people that still smoke it a little bit in a pipe, but I don't want to smoke cigarettes anymore. But
well,
I was going to ask.
The government doesn't want you to smoke cigarettes. They don't want you to take nicotine. That's why they're so anti-vaping. Vaping itself, you can get vape liquid. That has nicotine and it tastes like a strawberry sundae.
Oh, yeah?
You don't have to taste tobacco when you vape, but two puffs a day of nicotine, like a 6 milligram nicotine, it keeps your mind sharp. You can do that, or you can buy nicotine patches or the gum, but that's expensive stuff. Vaping's not expensive. It's cheap.
Oh, I know. I used to vape when I quit smoking too, so a little bit, not a lot. But I was going to ask you, Ella, do you know what an electroacuscope is?
Electric what?
Electroacuscope.
Acuscope. No, I've never heard of it.
Oh, okay. I have one, and I used to use it on myself, and you could use it on your gums. There's a wand that you put on for your gums, and it broke. It cost me $1,200, but I was going to try to sell it online because it needs a new power supply and all this other nonsense. But also,
electrical stimulation is great for you.
Right, but
if you have a snake bite, use electrical stimulation. It'll stop the poison from the snake.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I don't have access to it anymore, but I do. I bought a terahertz wand. Do you know what that is?
I am not familiar with those new electrotherapy techniques. That's beyond my time. I'm back in the 60s to the 2000s.
Oh, and then I have a biomat, which is far infrared with tourmaline and amethyst crystals. It costs like $700 and Yeah. But my cat takes it over. She won't let me get on it when I turn it on. that's how they were selling them. They showed pictures of how the animals would, you know, crawl on top of them as soon as they got turned on. It was like, uh-oh, there's something good about it. Yeah, she's on my lap right now, clawing at me, wanting me to move so I could give her some space. But anyway,
if you have trouble sleeping or something like that, a great thing to take is those CBD gummies, as long as they have THC in them. 2 milligrams or 5 milligrams of THC will give you a great night's sleep, but it won't make you high or anything. It'll just relax you and let you sleep.
Yeah, I need to get some gummies. I'll do that when I'm in Colorado tomorrow, but I told Brian this one night. I had to talk to him for an hour because I got so high from my hygienist. My hygienist makes CBD oil, and I took it, you know, it was with coconut oil, and it was I had to use a scoop, and I took too much of it, and I got so stoned. I was like, my mind was racing. Oh, my God. That's the second time that's happened. I took some when I left her office, and I couldn't even drive home that night. I had to stay in a hotel because it was 30%, and it cost $10 an ounce. Oh, no. No, I'm sorry. Let's see. It was $25 an ounce. I got 4 ounces for $100. But I said, I'm never doing that again. But I have CBD liquid. You know, and I also have something that also has THC in it from an herbalist from our farmer's market here in New Mexico, and she puts hops in her formula also. So hopefully
they're trying to sell you the CBD stuff all over the place, but if you have CBD and it does not have THC in it, it does nothing for you.
Yeah, I know. I should probably take a scoop tonight, but I have to drive tomorrow to Pueblo, Colorado, and it's supposed to be raining and snowing in Colorado tomorrow. So that sucks. But anyway.
Don't take more than 5 milligrams. I did that by mistake once, and I was loaded.
That's what I mean. I mean, if you guys talk to Brian on the next time, you know, I'll mention it at the, you know, when we're having a Zoom call. But there was a pretty decent Zoom call with Mike's show. You know what I mean? And but it was this one lady that got on from California. She's got a lot of information on stuff, you know, that's similar to what we're planning on doing. But you know, I mean, California is a big deal, so they probably have to handle things in a lot different ways than we do. They probably have a lot more problems, even though in my county. Now, there is Mark Ronchetti. I don't know if you guys know who he is. He's running for governor against our governor. There are signs all over the place for him. And, yeah, he's a Republican. And it's going to be a little bit better. But somebody had to get in one of the websites and say he drives an electric car. You know, but they're probably just, you know, trying to defray people from making that decision. Because there's a Native American that's running on the Libertarian Party, but the only time we've had a Libertarian in our government was Gary Johnson, and he's the biggest pothead there is now. I mean, he was running again, and he was really stoned. He didn't even know what was going on in Israel or something like that. He was just, like, out of it. But anyway.
Too much THC.
So, too much.
Yep.
Too much.
I got some things I need to tell the folks here, so.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to interrupt you guys a little bit.
I'm done.
There is a work going on in Texas right now. That was one of the things on the phone call right before this conference call started. There is a lady in South Central Texas who is trying to get her 17 acres using a land patent, and they refuse to record it at the county courthouse. She threatened them with legal action, and so they returned it. They weren't even going to give her paperwork back, but they gave the paperwork back, but they would not record it. So I am putting her in touch with our common law court folks in Texas because they have a lot of contacts on those kinds of things. And we just recently found out there's a sheriff in Texas who is proposing to do exactly what we talked about on this program over 3 years ago, which is the deputizing plan. He has stated that if he is pushed by the powers that be, he will deputize the good men in his county by the tens of thousands if he has to. And the beautiful part about that is if you are a deputy of the sheriff, which he has the right to do, you now have the power to arrest. You can carry your weapons openly or concealed, and you can carry pretty much anything you want to carry as long as you are trained in the use of it and the sheriff approves of it. So that would mean you'd have all kinds of avenues open to you for weaponry that the average person today would have a difficult time doing. So that's good news there. That we're going to be watching that development. Again, that just happened tonight. And so we'll watch how that proceeds over the next week or so. Things are heating up. I'm listening to the fellows, the Florida Gators and different people like that in the National Socialist Movement, even the GAB people with Andrew Torba. He's promoting Christian nationalism. So these are not foreign concepts any longer. And most people are beginning to realize what we've talked about for so long. Man-made government is our enemy, not our friend. It doesn't matter what kind of government you're talking about. If it's a man-made system, it's our enemy. They are not here for our benefit. They are not here to promote and enforce God's law. Period. They're not. So finding a solution by electing Communist A or Communist B or Communist C and thinking it's going to fix our problems, we're beginning to realize now as a people that's just not going to work. We have to repent of what our ancestors did, asking for an earthly king. And we have a king already. His name is Yahweh. We have a law already. It's his law. And he is the one who decided that our disputes are to be settled at the local level by elders who are called judges.
Yep.
That's how you do it. And they are to judge according to Yahweh's law, not man's law. They're to judge according to Yahweh's law. So the other thing is when people realize that they don't have real justice or any court system that supports real justice in the land, that is a formula for revolution. So anybody that's interested in our problems going away before there's outright revolution in this country should support the common law concept of courts, because that's a biblically based system. And they use the Exodus chapter 18 model to go by that, which is the captains of tens, meaning 10 households. That's where we get the word chieftain. Ton is the old English word for 10. So the chief of 10 or chieftain, 10 families, and then that chief gets together with other chiefs and they become, there's a head over 50 families or 5 chieftains. And then there's a head over 100 families or 10 chieftains. And so on, up to 1,000 to 10,000 to 100,000, all the way up until you get to a level of Moses, which is your monarch, your righteous biblical monarch. And again, his only job is to protect the rights of the people, protect the faith. And other than that, you don't even know he exists. Okay, he's not a dictator. He's not a potentate. He's not a pope. Any of those things. The monarch simply for the settling of grievances that can't be settled at the local level. So it's completely the opposite of what we've lived under all of our lives and most of our ancestors' lives for hundreds of years. This system, this beast system, has been put upon us a long time ago with the purpose of doing just what it did, to subjugate us and enslave us, and to give us no way out. I think we got Ralph. Ralph is here. Oh, yeah, there's Ralph. Okay, very good. I'm hey, Ralph. What's that?
Melissa didn't call in?
No.
Oh.
Nope. I haven't seen her pop up, so maybe she forgot or I'm pretty sure she's on the mailing list. Let me double check. Check my mailing list. If anybody has any other new issues, let me know. Now, tomorrow night, for the folks interested in the common law courts, we will have that Zoom meeting at 7 o'clock tomorrow evening. That information is also on PastorDan.net under CL Courts. And let's see here, Melissa.
Ooh.
Oh, she's not on my mailing list, so she didn't get it.
Oh.
Okay, let me see if I can add her here. So that would be a good fix. Oh. Hmm.
Nice to see you, Ralph.
Yeah, he's not his email program must not be working because he has trouble reaching out to people. So, okay, again, it's open mic. If anybody out there has got something they want to bring to the group, and again, I'm recording this. If people want, I will put a copy of it up on the website. If not, I'll just keep it and give it to people as they request it. It's mostly for record keeping. But the main thing is that everybody needs to know that it is a helter-skelter world, not just here in the United States, but worldwide. It's helter-skelter right now. Just almost complete anarchy. People are getting sick. People are dying left and right everywhere. People are waking up to the fact that they've been shanghaied, lied to, manipulated, coerced into doing things that are harmful to themselves. They're angry. A lot of these people that are walking the streets are showing side effects of the jab. That's why so many of them have very strange looks on their face. There's a lot of road rage, employment place rage, racial tension, fist fights, assaults. It's really, truly a dystopic world. Ralph says here, Proton Mail kicked me out, so I need a different email provider. Oh, okay. Well, yeah, censorship and trying to shut down open dialogue by the enemy is also in high swing right now. But according to the people I'm listening to anyway, that's a sign that they're losing. They're starting to lose their control. And again, how did our father do that? He said all the things that were hidden would become known. And what has the internet done for people that care about the truth? It's revealed everything.
Amanda said on her show, she said that people that she had seen that were driving too slow on the roads, like they were, you know, zombified. And I saw a truck go off the road outside a wagon mound. It's on I-25. Well, I didn't see it go off, but you know, they've been jackknifing off to the right. You know, they stay in the right lane. So we only have two lanes on I-25 each way. And so it's like I'm always on alert, you know, because I know that there's going to be a lot of that nonsense. It's either they'll drive too fast or they'll be going, well, they were truck drivers, I don't know, you know, that was a rainy day, but either too fast or too slow. Because they could be smoking pot to alleviate the other, you know, and when I used to smoke pot, I was so paranoid I would drive like with my eyes only in the rear view mirror, you know. So I never
Well, what I that. Have noticed is that a lot of people down here anyway, they are aggressive. I don't see too many too laid back. They race their cars, their motorcycles, their four-wheel drives. They've got really bad attitudes, a lot of animosity. So I see kind of a different situation, if you know what I mean.
Dan, have you heard anything about that? What the National Socialists are doing with these transsexual people, the guys that dressed up like women are reading to groups? The National Socialists are starting to attend these meetings.
Yeah, there was one scheduled for this weekend in Orlando, Florida, and seven different pro-white organizations said they were going to show up to protest it.
Hallelujah.
The National Socialists of Florida, the National Socialist Movement, the Goyim Defense League, and then there was four or five others. all of them said they were going to show, and they wanted it to be kept quiet, but somehow it got out. And when the pedophiles and homosexuals found out that these groups were going to show up, they canceled it.
Well, I figured. We all want
to show up to any of those meetings if they're going to have those readings. Have the parent show up and do their thing.
Well, that's just it. Yeah, it's getting really bad. It's getting really bad. There's so much nonsense going on right now. I know people that are dealing with the child protective agencies, CPS. It is a corrupt organization. All of them are. I know a lady that called me. She's one of our listeners, a dear sister out in California. The authorities got involved in something that was going on at their house, and now the gentleman has been taken into custody for, quote, his protection, as if his wife that he's been married to for decades and loves him is somehow going to hurt him. And so she's dealing with that. So it's just like Child Protective Services, only for senior citizens. Same idea. The state comes in and claims that if there's any problems, it must be the spouse's fault. And they actually bring charges on the spouse with no evidence, no proof, just the fact that you're the spouse and he's got problems, so you must have spousal abuse. So she's dealing with all that. It's like I said, the world has lost its mind. I find myself just kind of scratching my head sometimes. I knew, the Father laid it on my heart many years ago, that we would get to this point, but I never was given the details. I was never shown how the world would become so dystopic, how the world would become so evil. How would the Father separate the wheat and the tares? I wasn't shown that. Only that it would happen because the prophets told us, but I could also see the trends in day-to-day life. And now as I sit here on nearly 3 years after this whole charade started, and I'm in almost disbelief that everything that he said would happen is happening. Incredibly so. I mean, 3 years into this, and there's still people with an IQ above room temperature putting diapers on their faces. 3 years into this, there's still people with a relatively high IQ putting a foreign substance that's untested, known to have adverse effects, willing to put it in their bodies. I'll give you another case in point. Just today, I was talking to my neighbor, and he's part of a very high IQ think tank, and these guys are investors, and they've got millions of dollars that they deal with. And the one guy was saying how he just got his booster shot. And when it was brought up as to I have to travel. I have to be able to travel because of these very high and expensive business ventures require them to travel to the Middle East and to Asia and to Europe and South America and all over Canada and America. Well, I have to travel. So I'm going, wait a minute. So you know it's harmful, but if it interferes with business, it's okay to put it in your body? Have we actually reached that point? Again, these are not your dregs down at the homeless community in L.A. or San Francisco. These are people that ride around in high-end cars, live in penthouses, and have millions and millions of dollars to deal with. And yet, they equate putting a damaging, potentially fatal substance in your body they equate it as being acceptable risk so they can make money? Have we actually reached that point? I mean, that's the way it looks to me. I said it years ago, and people have proved me right. Our people are so weak and lame today that all you have to do is make something inconvenient and they will do damage to themselves, let alone threaten them with a gun or chopping their head off or hanging them. You don't even have to go that far. That's why they haven't done it. They don't need to. They don't need to. All they got to do is threaten your entertainment, threaten your sports or your drugs or your liquor, or threaten convenience. In other words, you can't make business deals in this day of video conferencing without actually flying somewhere. You can do a video conference. You could do a lot of things. You don't have to fly. It's just easier. But they'll say, well, I have to fly for business, so therefore I'll comply with whatever these monsters tell me to do. That's the state of our people.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty sick. Pretty sick.
Mm.
Well, I don't have anything else for tonight, unless somebody else has got something they want to either discuss or bring to the table.
I just want to thank you, Dan, for this meeting on Wednesdays. Earlier, haven't had a very, very bad week. I really looked forward to talking with people who were actually sane.
I know exactly what you mean. Every day I talk to people that say the same thing, that the number of people that they're willing to meet and actually have a discussion with is getting smaller and smaller. These zombies that are out here, they don't want to see them. They don't want to talk to them. They don't want to fellowship with them. They don't want to have dinners with them. They don't even want to see them in the neighborhood. And I'm finding that even within our families, a lot of us are starting to lose empathy for family members because of this issue.
Yeah.
It's sad, but it's happening. And personally, I think that's what the Father wants to happen, because what did he say in the scriptures? What does it say? If you love anything on this earth more than me, you don't deserve me. Is that what he said?
Amen.
Now,
yep.
When he says, if you love anything on this earth more than me, does that mean your family, your children, your boss, your job, your house, your bank account, your neighbors?
Everything.
Last time I checked, it means all the above. If you put any one of those things above him and his will for your life, then you have discredited yourself and you are no longer worthy, according to what the word says. And that makes sense to me. If I was him, that's how I'd feel about it. I'm your creator, just like I tell my children. I'm your father. You can't change that. I am your father. And just like our heavenly father, as he sits on the throne and he looks at this mess that we have down here, I am your creator. You can't change that. I have rules and expectations.
Having heard some of these men in this group that we have, we have some of the best men in the world. I give them all kudos, every one of them, for being there, for loving their fellow white people, and for searching for the truth along with all the rest of us. Thank you, guys. You're the head guys. You're the lions. And we women are going to learn how to follow you and walk alongside of you and not ever try to lead you. That's where women have made a big mistake now.
Yeah, amen to that. That's the good news of what's happening, just like Cliff High and Greg Hunter were talking about, that out of this chaos and this dystopia that we live in, the good news is that we're now becoming aware of just how evil these other people are. We're also aware of who our true friends and true believers are, and we're finding out those that truly love the Father and who don't. And we want to do things right. We want to walk away from this Babylonian system, and we want to get back to doing things His way, which, again, is kind of like the Amish way. I don't agree with the Amish's theology, but their way of living, I grew up amongst the Amish, their way of living is actually closer to what we're supposed to do. So, you know, I take my hats off to them. They stick closer to the word, and that's where we should be. We should get back to the family farms and living in communities with each other, much as the Amish do. I've been to Amish barn raisings and house raisings. Wouldn't that be much better than insurance that everybody pays through the ass for? Okay, so when an Amishman's home or his barn burns down, the whole Amish community brings a piece of lumber from their sheds, brings a big piece of lumber to the site, and every piece of lumber needed to put up a new house or a new barn is right there, already made. Each family is responsible for a single piece of wood that will go into that new structure. It's pretty amazing to watch. And there's one elder who's the ringleader, and he tells them, and they put it together like a great big tinker toy. And every one of those timbers has a number and a letter of the alphabet stamped in it. So it's just like a tinker toy. Take that timber 1A over there and put it with 1B, 1C, and 1D. And over here, put 3F and G and H over on this side over here. And up goes a barn. Up goes a house. And the first thing every family does is after they rebuild somebody's barn or house, they go find a good stout tree, and they cut it down, and they season it, and they make a new piece of wood for the next raising and store it in their shed. Is that better than insurance? Hell yeah, it is. Much better than insurance. Doesn't cost anybody anything. Instead, we spend tens of thousands of dollars for property insurance, household goods insurance, car insurance, health insurance, 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 insurance. Let's see, who owns the insurance companies? Oh, that's right, the enemy. Isn't that amazing? Where the Amish just said, well, no, thank you. Well, we know how to cut wood, and we know how to trim wood, and we know how to put a barn together. My uncle's beef cattle barn was an Amish-built barn, and I remember playing in the hay lofts and stuff as a boy. That barn was over 100 years old when it finally got hit by lightning and burnt to the ground. If lightning had not hit it, it would still be there today, probably close to 150 years old. Every timber in it as strong as the day they put it in, if not stronger, because some of those woods become almost like concrete, just like white pine. White pine becomes, it's white or yellow pine, can't remember which one, but it's a pine tree. The wood in a house we rebuilt was made of that pine, and the wood was so hard, it was like trying to put nails into concrete. So people say, well, wood's not, yeah, that right. Some of the wood out here in the woods and the forests and everything is as strong as steel. As long as you get the right wood and you treat it right and you let it go. Same thing with these old barns. Those timbers in there, and here's the other thing. There's not a single metal nail in an Amish barn. Every piece fits together like a tinker toy, and it's put together with wooden pegs to hold the timbers in place. Not one metal nail is used. So people say it can't be done. I lived it. I seen it. It can be done. We just got lazy and wanted to go the way of the world and do it their way. And their way is expensive. It hurts. It harms the environment. And it harms us ultimately, because then we become lazy and dependent. And we start doing things that we shouldn't ought to do, because we don't know any better. Or like the gentleman that wants to fly so he can make a couple million dollars, And so he's willing to acquiesce to the authorities and put the poison in his body. It's a shame. So, again, I don't have anything else. We've been about an hour and 10 minutes. I think that's long enough. I did invite Mike to come here and tell us about his story, but he's probably still at the gym, so we'll have, maybe he can come on next week and fill us in. Do I have any volunteers that would like to close this in a short prayer? Anybody want to volunteer? Tick tock, tick tock, tick tock, tick tock. All right, you cowards. I'll do it. just teasing. Dear Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this opportunity to get together as family. We thank you for this platform and this technology that allows us to reach out to each other thousands of miles apart and in real time, instantly. We thank you for keeping us safe, giving us the Holy Spirit to guide us to know that the poisons were poisons and we should not do what the authorities say because they are our enemies. We also pray and say thank you, Father, for teaching us your ways, the natural ways, and the ones that work and do no harm. And we just pray going forward that you would help us to teach others, those that are willing to listen. Forgive us our shortcomings and be with us always that we can stand tall and strong and be a good symbol for our people, a beacon and a banner for them to look to for answers and truth. And we just pray that your coming, your law, and your kingdom will be reigning on this earth in the very near future. And these creatures that walk amongst us will be completely obliterated. To that end, walk with us and guide us in all that we say and do and protect us from our enemies. In Yahweh's name we pray. Hallelujah. And good night, everybody.
Good night, everybody.